All right, he's the main man over at Antigua, and we love having him on to talk clothing.
Yeah, we do.
Ron McPherson of Antigua. What's going on, my man?
Hey, well, thanks for having me on your show again, gentlemen. It's good to hear your voices.
All right, so I'm sitting here, and we just got our new 2017 order, and I'm trying on all this stuff, and I know we're going to have you on the show, and I'm wearing it this past weekend when I went out and finally got to play golf. You know, with a 7.5-month-old, you don't get too many times out on the golf course. But then I come out to your site, and you got the 2018 stuff out there. I'm, like, double excited now. What's going on?
Well, you know, the cycle in the apparel design business is always a year and a half out. I mean, our designers have been working on spring 18 for quite a while now, and we got initial samples in. We've already met with some of our partners. Our Canadian distributor was here just 2 days ago, and we're going to be presenting all of the new product to our golf sales force in an early June sales meeting. But some of our golf guys like to get their samples early because they work in the Sun Belt. They work in Florida and Texas and Arizona, and they're already starting to sell some orders for that September delivery time frame. So this cycle just keeps coming at us.
Yeah, I mean, some of these are so new out there that you don't even have, like, the model wearing
is images.
Yeah.
And so that our reps could see, you know, the images and the inventory position so they could write an order against it. I'm looking at it right now, for example, a colorway in one of the styles called Inspire is a spearmint. It's a different green color, and it's a 9-1 start chip on that particular piece. But we need to have that up and running so the sales force can write those early orders. We'll have the full images with models and all those things. My guess is it'll be complete by mid-May when we'll have it all finished and when it'll be like the other parts of the site. But that's just the nature of the business.
Well, Mike said he's available for any pictures you need.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. We'll just fly him out.
Absolutely. No, you don't have to fly me out. I'll just put my stuff on. It'll be all selfies.
I figured you need some husky models.
Yeah. Hey, shut it. It's bigger and taller. You know, one of the things that I always ask you about, I'm curious, when it comes to some of these colors, not just the names, you and I have sort of laughed about how annoying color names have gotten when I pick up a Gatorade and it's called, like, Base Camp Bravo. I'm like, well, what flavor is Base Camp Bravo? I mean, is it lemony? Is it, you know, what is it?
Yeah,
and sort
funny.
Of the same thing has happened with colors, and we see that, those of us who are involved in, like, home projects, when we go and look at the paint palettes at Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever, where do the influences come from, both for names and what colors are kind of coming next? I mean, do you guys have to look at some of those home things? Do you look at the automotive industry? Do you look exclusively at fashion? Where do all the influences come from on color?
Well, the design team now obviously has the incredible reach of the internet, so that they can look at trending in all kinds of different areas. Some of the things you just mentioned, but they look at furnishings, they look at shoes, they look at certainly clothing, but they don't necessarily look at it in our businesses. They're looking at it in extreme sports or in skiing or whatever to try to get what the trends might be. And then, you know, hopefully they're on track with what they choose to put in the color palette. And so far, so good. They've done a really good job. But it's a risk.
Yeah,
it's definitely a risk.
And I'm curious, when you talk about extreme sports or skiing or some of those outdoors things, I mean, no one ever thought about L.L. Bean as being forward-thinking in terms of fashion. But there's a lot of things that come out of that world that do set trends and is a little surprising. So where have you seen some surprising trends come from?
Well, a couple of years ago, you guys remember the highlighter colors, the really, really bright neons. And those were really strong for a couple of years. And that was always surprising to me because that was in the apparel business, things, nothing's ever new. It just comes around again. And it's like they were real popular back in the 90s, and then we didn't see them for 20 years. And then they came back around. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, surprise you, that you think, oh, man, are we really going to do that again? But right now, pretty much it's you know, the color palette for 18 for us isn't significantly different. The shades are a little different, certainly, but they're very jewel tone oriented. And so it's, you know, shades of navy, shades of black, shades of different shades of blue, et cetera. Nothing really stark and, you know, so bright as it was a couple of years ago.
Now, have more modern fabrics allowed you to really expand the palette a little bit because they'll hold the color?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question. That's very true, because one of the things that we try to do is listen to the marketplace, and we've heard some people say, geez, why don't you do cotton again? Why isn't cotton coming back? And one of the things that really, really jumped out at us when we were looking at some cotton pieces is how dull it was. It doesn't bring the color out the way the synthetic fabrics do. The synthetic fabrics really pop the color. And, you know, so far the market's still preferring the performance-driven synthetics over, you know, the cotton pieces that dominated for so long.
And, you know, you guys always seem to pop something new out there. I mean, and something that's slightly different. And I always go, hey, I think I want to try that. Like this time around, I got the Arctic pullover. It's a little different looking pullover than some of the other ones. It's got a nice pattern on the front of it and seemed like it was just a little bit different.
That one's been huge.
Yeah, I tried that on. I'm like, I'm loving this thing right now. And then all of a sudden I'm out there and I'm looking at the spring 18 and you've got this vest. The maritime vest, and it's like something else is really cool, and I'm like, okay, I can't wait to get a hold of that one either. So, you know, I give props to whoever's doing the innovation and the R&D and coming up with the new concepts for all this great stuff.
It's Ron. He does it all.
Yeah, right.
I just go in there and say, wow, you guys are really doing a good job. Now, our design team has really been spot on, and you know, we're really pleased with what they brought to the table, and it's collaborative. I mean, we all get into these meetings, and you've got, you know, sales management in there, you've got myself in there, you've got our design team, we bring in, you know, some consumer people that are going to give us, you know, first blush on from their perspective. And you know, so far, you know, we've got to be really pleased. There's only one style that is really probably going to fall out, and we saw that this morning. It just wasn't going to translate into what we had hoped it would, but we usually make enough styles that losing one doesn't affect the line.
And what causes that? When it's not going to reproduce well, or it's not going to reproduce efficiently?
You know, you try at the mill with the fabric or the type of decoration. In this particular case, it was a print that we were trying, a different approach to a print, and it didn't work. Mm. And so it's going to go away, and we'll keep working on it. Maybe we'll be able to bring something out next year that'll have that approach, but the overall line won't be affected at all, because there's always enough styles that we usually expect at least one item to fall out, sometimes two.
Well, we're on with Ron McPherson, our good friend from Antigua, our official apparel company, and I'm curious, I'm a huge Solheim Cup fan, and you guys are involved again this year with the Solheim Cup being played on U.S. soil. How does that relationship get formed, and then how much of it do you have to worry about, you know, what the actual team players are wearing, and I mean, how does that all operate?
Well, we started with the LPGA. I think we became a licensee with the LPGA in 2000 and I want to say 6. Mm-hmm. And we were used as one of the vendors in the Solheim Cup in the United States. Remember, it was in the Chicago area at Rich Harvest Farms.
Yes.
And we were one of the vendors in the main pro shop area that year. And then after that was over, we were asked if we were interested in designing and developing the women's actual uniforms for the players, for all the girls. And so our first venture into that was in 2011, when it was in Ireland at, I think it was called Kayleen Castle. And we enjoyed doing it. They enjoyed having us. And so this will be our fourth consecutive Solheim Cup where we've done the American girls' uniforms. And along with doing that, we're also the lead vendor in the pro shops up in Des Moines this year, you know, the main tent on the golf course, and then they'll have an auxiliary as well. And we're providing all of the clothing for the volunteers and the marshals and et cetera. So it's a big project. We're really honored to be doing it.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously it's a great honor to be producing this for the U.S., but there's a lot of eyes on you, and you've got a lot of players that have specific needs. Some of them have their own apparel deals, and they forego those. And this is also a great opportunity for you to showcase your product, not only to these golfers, but like you said, to all the volunteers and the fans. I came to Antigua when you guys were providing the apparel for the volunteers for the Symetra Tour. And that's right. How I discovered Antigua and fell in love with it. So when you look at this, I mean, what do you sort of, you know, the average fan probably looks at it as, oh, it's a week-long event. When you start to examine the tail that this could have, I mean, what is it, pressure or is it pleasure? Is it pleasure or is it pain?
Well, there's always some pressure. I mean, particularly when you're trying to fit, you know, athletes, you know, 12 to 14 girls that, you know, they want to look their best, they want to feel their best, so the clothing has to be right. Fortunately, Danielle Delios, who's our senior women's designer, has worked with these girls now for, this, like I said, this is her fourth time, so they're very familiar with each other. A lot of the girls have been on the team. In fact, Antigua's had, you know, of girls that wear our clothing on a regular basis on tour, we've had four girls make the team the last 2 years. And we could even have five this year. Just all depends on how they play. But you know, and the familiarity with the players, and just ensuring that the clothing is going to work. There's certainly pressure there, but we're pretty confident it's going to work out.
Now, are we going to see a traditional navy blue, white, and fire engine red, white, and blue, or are we going to see some other color palette sneak in there on some days?
No, it's red, white, and blue. Obviously, there was an attempt to change color palette 1 year on the Ryder Cup team, and that didn't go over too well. So red, white, and blue pretty much stays there. And Julie Inkster, the captain, is very much an advocate of red, white, and blue, and she's been very integral as well in approving and giving some advice and et cetera in the design. So it's definitely red, white, and blue.
Well, thank her, because
awesome.
Obviously it proves that the women have much more fashion sense than the guys do when it comes to team competition.
Or U.S. track and field, or some of the other folks who've gone with a light blue and a gold, and, you know, just makes me crazy. Red, white, and blue.
So speaking of LPGA, I mean, you guys have across the board, I mean, NFL, NBA, licensing, PGA Tour, NASCAR, all kinds of stuff. I mean, what does that bring to the table for you in terms of exposure?
It's tremendous for us to have all those licenses. Gives us the opportunity to be a year-round supplier to major retailers, both bricks and mortar retailers and online retailers. So we're providing, you know, goods in all seasons. You know, football, basketball, hockey, golf, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a great thing for us as a brand and as a company. So we have a year-round business in that regard. And then, you know, the other thing is that it's a validation to a degree. If, you know, the NFL or the NBA is confident to you know, have Antigua as a licensee, then that's a statement, I think, in the marketplace that the product and the brand is very worthy.
Well, Ron, before we let you go, obviously we love Antigua, and our listeners who win the product love it, and our meteorologist and our stick and ball sports guy love it so much their wives have asked them to stop wearing it so often. How does somebody who maybe is new to Antigua, how do they get something from you to try it out? Because I think this is one of those products that if you try it, you're going to buy it, and if you buy it, you're going to buy a lot of it. So is there a place on the website where you get a good deal or whatever?
For the people that don't win it from us.
The first thing we'll always say, always, is to go to your favorite pro shop, wherever that may be, because Antigua's in, you know, over 8,000 different pro shops around the country on the golf side. You can also find our product at major retailers, Dick's Sporting Goods, Fanatics Online. You know, a number of major retailers are going to carry Antigua in a variety of different forms. And then, you know, from the standpoint of our own website, Antigua.com, we do have a shopping site at Antigua.com that will show you all of the various products and present it to you in a retail format so that you can buy product there as well.